Before we get into the news, I need to take a little bit of time to talk about the fundraiser we have here.
Oh, yeah.
For the month of December, our capital improvement fundraiser. We have been very fortunate to be able to secure, first of all, a $2,000 grant from the Devastale Foundation and $6,000 in matching funds from the local news fund. And we have the month of December in order to collect $6,000 so that we can get those matching funds. And this is really, I mean, we've had a couple of fundraisers. We had one in February and we had one in July, but this is going to be really the most ambitious fundraiser we've had since I've been at KTAL. The goal is to raise $7,000 and with $17,000, I'm sorry, and with $2,000 from Devastale. And I didn't mention there's also an anonymous grant from one of our KTAL volunteers. This is, or not grant, but award from our KTAL donation, I guess would be the right word.
Mm-hmm.
So we're off to a great start on this thing. One of the things that we desperately need to do is buy a new soundboard. I don't know if people listened to my show Musical Celebrations last week. There was just a dirty connection in the board. And so for the first 35 minutes, I had to have the mic turned up all the way up, and I had to be screaming, not screaming, but talking real loud right into it in order to get normal levels because we've got an old board, and it just doesn't work the way it should all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that was just dirty connections. We have tech guys who are great. They come in here and fix it all the time, but we need something more reliable. And on top of that, we have been on the air for a little bit more than 8 years now. I know there was a real debate, should we go on at all before we had enough money in the bank that I think they wanted to have 1 year's worth of operating funds before mm-hmm. they went on. And Peter Goodman, our normal co-host, was one of the ones who said, ah, you know, let's take the leap. Let's just go on the air.
Yeah.
And so, but ever since, the point is ever since then, we've been operating, you know, with no margin. When the board went down last year, it took us a couple of months, and we had to have a special fundraising campaign just to fix it because we didn't have the money in the bank to just go out and fix the board. And so that's what we're trying to do. For the first time in our history, we're trying to build a little cushion and to get some new equipment. And so if you have been listening to us and you enjoy what you hear, please understand that we get no commercial revenue. We do have underwriters that we love our underwriters. But it's not the same as going out and selling ads and getting, you know, the kind of money that the big guys are able to get. We rely on our listeners. And if you are able to help us, this is the time to do it because those donations will be doubled. So anything you're able to give us during December, that will be doubled. And the easiest way to do it is lccommunityradio.org. And go to the donate page.
Right. Big donate button.
Yep. Go to the donate button. So I'm never comfortable with the fundraising part. But we got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's part of, right, it's part of being a nonprofit.
It absolutely is.
Part of a fully volunteer organization.
Yep. It is. It is. We survive on the generosity of our listeners.
Right, yeah. But, yeah. But you know, we do good work in terms of,
I hope so.
Well,
I hope people value what we do and will be willing to show us that.
Right, yeah.
So we were talking before we came on there, really, politically, not a lot going on locally. It seems like all the stories in the news lately are just horrible news, you know, tragedy.
It is, yeah. The local stuff was just what I was just talking about is it within a week of each other. I guess two sort of tragic accidents of someone getting hit by a car and then someone being hit by a train by the train, which you don't hear about, right, happening very often. So that was a little. That was a little sad, but coming out of El Paso, just what sort of concerned me was just a few of the headlines in terms of a gentleman being sentenced for kidnapping a woman, and then recently two other individuals were arrested for this sort of same type of crime, and so yeah. I'm just hoping that that's not a trend that we
human trafficking crime.
Right, yeah. Right. Or just, you know.
Yeah.
You just go out and something happens and, you know, I mean, and unfortunately. Yeah. And I know people don't like to talk about this topic, but, you know, victims, survivors oftentimes think that, you know, it's just or they think, why me? But, you know, oftentimes perpetrators have a plan. So that's just, anyway, that's why it was just concerning to me. It was like, oh, is this a trend that, we're going to now see in our community? Which, again, I hope not.
Yeah.
No, but know that it's not just this random thing that happens.
Right. Something else I know you're probably more familiar with than I am is the effort being made down in Sunland Park, or I guess the controversy. Well, I'll let you explain it.
I don't know. Controversy, maybe not. Maybe. But actually, this is longstanding with coming back to Santa Teresa also wanting to become its own municipality, right?
So what is Santa Teresa now?
So it's still an unincorporated part of the county.
Okay.
They've tried to establish a quasi-government, but they've had very little. Well, you know, and they've gone to court several times. They've gone to district court, and it's gone up to the Supreme Court. But it's still, like, they have the option, but they still have not incorporated themselves. So it's still an unincorporated part of the county.
And so they're basically governed by the county.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But in the effort for Sunland Park to grow, they have continued to annex land around what is sort of designated as Santa Teresa. Mm-hmm. And so they are proposing to annex another big sort of chunk of land that's behind a residential community of Santa Teresa, which would actually just kind of create like a donut hole.
Okay.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> If you look at a map, you're like, oh, okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
but they've stated they don't want to annex that residential community that would be in the donut hole because those people don't want to be part of Sunland Park because they want to be their own community.
Right.
But if they did that, then, that would really close the door on Santa Teresa becoming its own community just based on New Mexico laws and what is required to become your own municipality, like some of the eligibility, right, in terms of area.
Right.
It just wouldn't make sense. Like, why would we have a little city inside another city?
How, I mean, when I think of Santa Teresa, the only thing I think of is the industrial park and you know, the border traffic. What kind of residential community is there in Santa Teresa?
Yeah, in terms of numbers, I mean, it's a few thousand, it's a few thousand homes. It's not very big.
Yeah.
But it's longstanding. I mean,
they clearly have the tax base.
Yeah. And then there's been homes there for quite some time.
And I could see why the county would oppose that because that would take taxes away from them, I would think.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So that's one thing too. The city of Sunland Park is always, wants to continue to grow, wants to continue to expand their tax base.
Yeah.
And the proposal for the land that they want to annex right now is, so again, behind a residential area that's not occupied, but it butts up against the industrial portion sort of the county territory, I guess you could call it that.
Right.
And including also the area where Project Jupiter, where the data centers are going to be constructed. So, right. And so
Project Jupiter is now on county land.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
And they want to come right up to it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that could, right? I mean, the industrial revenue bonds have been, have been signed, but that doesn't mean that construction has started or...
Right.
Those contracts and stuff, that's still, there's a potential, I guess, to be negotiated. And I know some folks at the county have mentioned some fear, too, that that's what the city of Sunland Park is trying to do, essentially.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean,
right.
If I were them, that's what I would be trying to do.
Yeah, deal's been made. We could just change owners.
So anything, it seems like obviously there was a rush to get that IRB passed. And then after that, everything kind of hit the pause button, it seems like. Has there been anything happening since then on Project Jupiter?
Well, no, I wouldn't say it's paused. I mean... No, they're still moving forward. Yeah, because,
Well, yeah, I didn't mean pause. I guess I meant not only their part. I mean, obviously, they're moving forward. But the effort to, at the county level, to do all the permitting, all the things that are required to do, and the effort to oppose that, I guess. It seems like for now, mm-hmm. at least that's, I don't know if on hold is the right word.
But yeah. It's, no, I would say it's still moving forward. Actually, yeah. some myself and a few other folks were out there on Monday. And so I guess they've already, the county has already issued a grading permit, which we have asked the county to review.
Okay.
You know, TBD. Okay. Wait and see.
Yeah.
And there is like preparation that's happening. There's many, you know, companies.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot going on. We're just not seeing it or hearing it.
Right. We're not just privy to it. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And we talked to a few people there that were working. And it was interesting because, you know, the big, what was it? The big benefit to our community for this project was about jobs. Mm. And every person we talked to is not from New Mexico. Is either
right. Right.
So that was a little interesting to say the least. So, but the other thing too is that a totally new company called Acoma has applied for air quality permits for the two microgrids that they're planning on constructing there. And so that company wasn't anywhere part of the IRB, so I'm not sure where they fit into the picture, which I'm sure it's, you know, among one of those companies. but on the notification, they were requesting or stating that they would emit, I think it was 13 million carbon emissions of, I'm not sure how that yeah. is measured.
So that's going to be the power plant? Or?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, again, is more than all of El Paso Electric.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of pollution. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they've clearly, not, they haven't weakened the standards. They've rid themselves of the standards.
Exactly. So, yeah. So this is our concern. Yeah. Just in terms of advocates in the community.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. We were talking really locally. There's not, other than that, I know the legislature is gearing up and other things are I'm sure happening, but nationally, obviously, this is a crazy time here's what I guess I'm trying to say. For the first time since Donald Trump's election,
mm-hmm.
it seems like the bad poll numbers and the bad news are finally starting to move some Republicans in Congress.
Mm.
And who would have thought it? But the sinking of one of those ships is probably going to result in Pete Hegseth being removed from office, which, good grief, what an embarrassment that yeah. has been. But yesterday was just, you know, for him to say, you know, first of all, he goes on Fox News and thumps his chest and says, I was there, I saw the whole thing, and now he's saying, well, you know, I was there for the first one, but as you can imagine, I'm really busy, and I didn't stay for the 2 or 3 hours. No, it wasn't 2 or 3 hours. And, yes, you did stay, and that's mm-hmm. going to be proven, you know. But it's amazing to me that it really is that they have defended so much, and it's going to be the sinking of a – that makes them turn on him. I mean, I did not see that coming. I really didn't. But obviously for people in the military, there are a lot of ex-military serving in Congress. That military code of conduct means more to them than it does to those of us who have never served.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would have went for good reason, right?
For good reason. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's a life and death kind of thing when you are in combat,
right.
obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
But not only life and death, but one of those, you know, go to your, meet your maker and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. I mean, yeah.
Well, right. And he has, if you can remind me of his background.
Oh, Pete Hegseth.
He's
Fox News. He was the weekend anchor at Fox News.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, he served in, you know, Iraq, I think. Either Iraq or Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
He did a tour.
Oh, okay. So
But you know, the every other Secretary of Defense in the history of the Secretary of Defense has started as a private, worked their way up to,
right,
you know, where they are like Mark Kelly, where you've got ribbons, right, covering your chest.
Yeah.
And for Pete Hegseth.
Well, it made it, yeah, your whole career, right?
Yeah. Yeah. For Pete, I don't know if you saw it, but Mark Kelly sent out a thing that just showed all of the ribbons that he had earned.
Oh, I didn't. Wow.
And Pete Hegseth put out this thing about, well, you had your ribbons organized wrong. If I were Mark Kelly, I would say, okay, these are the awards that have been won by Mark Kelly. And
right.
Just list them all and say, these are the award, you know, the medals that, awards, medals. These, yeah, are the medals that have been earned, not won, earned by Mark Kelly. These are the medals that have been earned by Pete Hegseth, who is concerned about appearance, who is concerned about fat generals.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a caller. Oh, yeah. I am so excited. Let me give the number one more time, 575-526-5825. If you want to join us for any part of this show, please let us know. And I'm hoping that's what's going to happen here. But what always happens is Minerva Rivera speaks to them and makes sure it's somebody who actually does want to come onto the show.
Right. Has something
and then
to
make
say.
Sure they know all the rules of what you can say and what you can't say. And then and then if that all goes well,
then we get to talk to them.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Right. They can join the conversation. Yeah, I think it's...
And that's what's going to happen. So, good morning, caller.
Yeah. I want to throw in three quick reasons that I think this has resonated so much. One is that it's so clear in the books that you can't do that. Another is that if you ever served in the military, you feared that happening to you, somebody shooting the survivors, whether it was the wounded at the end of a battle, you know,
for
nobody
sure
wanted to have that happen to them. But the third thing is, we all woke up seeing movies where the bad guys did that, whether it was a Western or a World War II,
yes,
flick, or a flick about Nam, the bad guys always did that.
That's absolutely right, and I think it especially resonated after World War II because, you know, we were comparing ourselves to the Nazis.
Right.
And so this was something that the Nazis were notorious for doing.
Well, they also, there was a famous trial of a Nazi captain, U-boat captain, I think it was. Don't know whether his crew, I think his crew also got tried for the war crime.
Right, right.
The crime occurred in 1944. I don't know when the trial was. I assume it was after the war and not a Nazi trial.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. But no, you make a very good point that, like I said, those of us who have not served and obviously not served in combat just can't not have the same kind of understanding and appreciation for the importance of that code.
Mm-hmm.
And
except that within all of us,
yes,
whether we grew up watching movies or TV or whatever it might be, you know, one of the first things we saw was the evil people do that.
That's right. That's how you tell the good guys from the bad guys.
Ingrained in our brain. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, and thanks for calling.
You guys are doing great. Bye.
All right.
Thank
thanks
you
a lot.
Well, and then again, what does that mean for our country as well, right? If we're just if we're not going to honor those codes, if we're not going to
well, and I guess, can we also say that this is the insanity? I mean, the insanity of going to war against Venezuela,
okay,
because we want to end their drugs coming to our country. At the same time that the Trump administration is pardoning a drug kingpin,
mm-hmm,
from Colombia, I think it is.
Yes.
I mean, it's just...
it's madness.
It's indefensible.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm a Republican in Congress, I'm done.
Mm.
You know, I have been defending crazy stuff. I have been defending indefensible stuff for almost a year now. At some point, I'm done. I mean, this... So we'll see. I think, you know, the projection is that there are going to be a lot of people just not running for re-election. A lot of Republicans just not running for re-election. We saw, you know, I mean, I think Democrats make a little bit too much of it, like this race we had last night in Tennessee, where, yes, it was a 22-point win in the presidential election, and I think it was an 8-point win now, and that is a shift. But it's also one more Republican seat,
right,
for the next however many months till the next election. So I don't know. I don't. But anyway, all of the, I don't put a whole lot of stock in those special elections, off-term elections, but historically, they have proven to be a bellwether. So we'll see. But it just appears like, you know, we are less than 1 year into this, and people have had enough.
Yeah, right. And it's I was for sure like the empire, right, has started to crumble, and I almost think back to like thinking about our conversations last year when it first the election took place, and you know, like, hold on to your seats. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
And then, yeah, less than a year now, you know, we've had a lot of chaos between January and now. And this, you know, there's, I think, yeah, in terms of levels of, I mean, lawsuit after lawsuit and,
Embarrassment.
Yes, I mean, bombing in Iran. You know, well, everything that's happening in Gaza. And now we're going to take over,
and he has these ridiculous cabinet meetings.
Yes,
where and it's all for the television. It's all a TV production, and one after another, after another, after another. Mr. President, I want to thank you for your courageous leadership on this and that. And oh no, Mr. President, I want to thank you. Oh no,
right.
No, Mr. President. Please let me be the one to thank you.
Yeah.
And he fell asleep.
Yeah.
He fell asleep three times. So, I mean, everybody's getting tired of it, himself included.
Right.
I mean, you can only have people kissing your backside for so long before, after a while. I mean, come on.
Well, that's who he filled the room with, though, too, right? Well, I mean, how many journalists has he kicked out, and how many has he said they're not even allowed to come in?
I'm so glad you brought that up. Because remember, like 3 or 4 months ago when they kicked all the journalists out of the Pentagon?
Yes.
Pete Hegseth was going to rid himself of these meddlesome journalists.
Yeah.
I said at the time, they're going to move to an office building across the street, and they are going to be two times more determined to dig for dirt. Now they're taking it personally. And the other thing you've done is you have removed them from the environment where they are at least getting your side of it. I mean, you have now isolated them to where the only people they're talking to are your critics.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's 2 months after that the Washington Post breaks the story. They lie. You know, their first reaction is to lie. They get caught in the lie. So they make up another lie. But this is going to be investigated, and it is all going to be on video. There will be hard evidence of what happened.
Well, I mean, and, you know, I think that obviously, right, the truth needs to come out, and, you know, the American voters deserve to know. And, you know, maybe it will impact the elections next year. But again, you know, I would feel like too soon to tell. It's only December. A lot of stuff can happen between now and next November.
It is only December. Golly, it seems like we've been doing this for longer than a year, doesn't it?
It does, honestly. It feels really like it's been several years of the commander of chaos.
The commander of chaos. Yes. Wasn't it 5 years ago that Elon Musk was waving that chainsaw in the air? That seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, and they were best friends.
Yeah, that's right. And the first thing Elon Musk went to when they broke up was Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. That turned out to be a little prophetic.
Indeed it did.
We are into our final minutes. I want to take just a minute before we wrap up this section to tell you about something else we have going on. That's going to be this Sunday afternoon from 4:30 to 6:30 at the Fountain Theater in Mesilla. We are going to be having a founder celebration. And we are going to be inducting 5 new people into the Las Cruces Community Radio Hall of Fame. They will be Kevin Bixby, Bruce Ernst, Marianne Hendrickson, Linda Hall, and Carrie Bachman. And we're going to have a 1-hour roundtable discussion moderated by our co-host Peter Goodman, who is also here from the very beginning. And I want to videotape it, or we want to videotape it and put it up on our website. And we want to get as many of the original organizers and show hosts and as many people from that first year as possible to all participate in a 1 hour discussion about, you know, what was it like? What were you hoping to accomplish? And, you know, how do you feel 8 years later? And so once again, that's going to be from 4:30 to 6:30 at the Fountain Theater. That is open to the public. And please come down and help us honor these new inductees to the Hall of Fame.
Sounds like it's going to be fun.
Okay. Let's see. We're not quite at the end of the hour. Anything else we want to talk about before we take a break and talk to Joe Rogan? Or Joe Rogan.
That would be very interesting, actually. We could get him as a guest.
That would be interesting. Joe Roach.
No, I guess the only other local thing that because we had mentioned this several months ago during, and the county announced it during their State of the County address, about the ice rink that was going to be constructed and open up. I wasn't able, I guess they opened up a little later, a few days later than they thought.
Yes.
But I just saw some videos. It looks like it's, you know, looks like it's a good time. Take the family out there. But yes, so the ice rink is open to the public.
And that is out at the fairgrounds.
It's out at the fairgrounds. Yeah. And I guess you can go into the county as well as their social media to find out how to get tickets. I guess 2 hour sessions, kind of like at a roller rink, sort of similar situation, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And it's a private company, I guess, that just goes around and sets up. But I remember when the county passed this, I did a column. I just thought it was a neat idea that, you know, bringing ice skating to Las Cruces.
Yeah. Right. So. I mean, and, you know, we were in the desert, so imagine that lots of people probably don't know how to ice skate, but it's still a good time.
Yeah, I grew up in Denver.
Right.
So I had many, many opportunities to try ice skating. Yeah.
Well, you should go out there.
I will. I definitely plan to go out there. So.
And tell us about it.
In our last, a couple other things in our last minute before we take a break, we are going to be at the Fine Arts thing, first Friday Fine Arts thing coming up this Friday. And we're going to be in front of Penny Pieces Art Gallery, the Mad Hatter, the 200 block of North Main Street. And then on Saturday, we're going to be doing a live broadcast from 7 till 9 during the smear campaign and catalog shows from the Valley Music Festival that will be taking place out at the Hood. And so a couple things coming up for listeners to listen for.